Guys.
Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen. You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. amazon.com/prime.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's PXY Mornings with Moose and Breezy. Last week on the show, Breezy shared with us a few things that were going on with her health that were concerning and were scary. And then yesterday you saw your doctor for a follow-up. Is that right?
Initial
follow-up.
No follow-up. Just I went for my annual OBGYN appointment.
Uh-huh.
And happens every year around this time. And I knew I was having that. So I didn't make an appointment for anything because I was like, oh, I'm going to see her in a couple of short weeks here. So I'll ask her about it then. And normally when you go for a pap, they examine everything from your boobs down to your, you know, vagine. So, yeah, if you missed the conversation last week we had about me feeling like an abnormal lump on my left breast that has been there for about a month, and the anxiety that I've been feeling around it has been coming in waves, I'll say.
Yeah.
But yesterday, I had that appointment. And if you live in and around this city, you know the construction is back in full force. And I was on my way there. We had a meeting here that was supposed to be an hour. It went to 2 hours. I was way more behind than I thought, and add traffic on top of that. I nearly missed my appointment. I got there like 10 minutes late, and they're like, that's the cutoff. We have to reschedule. I was like, no. Like, I need to see this person. Like, I'm having like, a near medical emergency.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were going to try and reschedule me. And I was like,
having to wait for the appointment in itself is so anxiety driven. And then think about them canceling and you having to do this all over again and wait another week or two.
And yeah, or a month. I mean, like, that's how far you book these appointments a year in advance, right? And that's kind of how it works. And I got there, and I just need to give credit where credit is due. I absolutely love my OBGYN. I absolutely love her down at Thompson. I'll say her name. Her name is Cassandra Gleason. I literally love her so much. She's probably like 5 years older than me, but she's just so like real and talks to you like a normal person. You know how there's such a disconnect between doctors and patients, and it's just like, well,
they come into the room, they start using terminology you don't know.
Correct. And it's very intimidating and scary. And I talked to her about my concern, because they ask you before the appointment, do you have any spots of concern for the visit today? And I said, you know, yeah, I've been experiencing this abnormal lump, whatever. So she looked at it, she felt it, and was like, we need to get you in to go get a mammogram,
right,
an ultrasound, and then, if worst case scenario, biopsy for that. She was like, I have a very low threshold when it comes to sending people to get imaging, like in the sense of, if there's anything abnormal, I'm just going to send you just to be safe, because you just better safe than sorry. So I did that. Everything came back normal from everything else. And I went off and made the appointment to do my first ever mammogram. Mm-hmm. Now, I was looking into this and researching it and talking to my mom. And you don't have to really start getting mammograms as a woman for women's health till you're like between 40, 45. So, I mean, that's like 10 to 15 years before when I should. And I've also never experienced it. But again, I would rather do it and get it over with to make sure everything's good.
Yeah.
The one thing she did say is, you know, you've lost a very significant amount of weight, and this could have always been there. And now it's just very much so coming to the forefront.
That's also kind of scary to hear.
Right. But at the same time, like, I do have a skin condition that makes me have lumps and cysts and all these things in my body. It's not so much, like, relevant that much anymore. It's not prevalent in my body since I've lost so much weight, because the disease really did thrive on obesity.
But there is a possibility, I'm sure she said, that it could be a cyst.
Yeah, she said it could be literally anything. It could be the worst case scenario, or it could be literally nothing, and it could just be... But I had my mom feel it, and she's like, you know, I felt a lot of her friends have had breast cancer and things like that. She's like, I felt that. She's like, yours is like moving around, so it's not like a hard thing. So where does that leave us now, right? Like, I talked to my girlfriend about it. My girlfriend is very much anxiety ridden, and she was very scared and nervous. And
that is
comforting and sweet, but also scary. But it's also like, I'm not going to take away from her feelings, but again, this is my thing and my body. I'm not going to lie. Like, I am a little nervous. Like, and I'm not trying to be like drama about this. I'm not trying to, like, because it very well could be nothing, like, obviously. But I think the real point of contention here and the real conversation at hand is just the anxiety behind working yourself up before you actually know, right? Like, I don't know, but your mind can't help but go in one direction and then swing back like a pendulum into the other direction. Yeah. And it just does that back and forth. And I won't know for 2 weeks. I don't go till next Friday. And I'm also scared to get a mammogram. I mean, I've never done that before either.
I don't know how many of you listening have had to have that procedure done. But if you can shed some light on it, of course we would appreciate it.
Right.
I mean, we're all scared of the unknown.
Right.
That is the hardest thing. And waiting for 2 weeks to get this done, that's even more difficult.
So I'm trying to just, like, be normal and, like, not fixate on it, of course. But
it's hard.
It's hard. It's hard with the level of anxiety that I deal with on a near daily basis. Also, being with a person who I absolutely love with my entire heart and cares about me to the 10th degree, but also is having anxiety and thoughts and feelings around it too, which she's totally valid and allowed to have those, of course.
What would make you the most comfortable? What do you need in your life?
Right now?
Yeah.
To have the appointment tomorrow?
Let's say from the people around you.
I think my mom will come with, she was like, do you want me to come with you to the appointment?
Yeah.
I think she'll come with me. But it on the phone, talking to the breast imaging center, they're like, you need to carve out anywhere from 90 minutes to 3 hours to be with us, because
that's a lot.
They find out everything right then and there. And if further testing needs to be done, they do it right then and there. It's not like
you got to wait for the biopsy.
Yeah,
okay, so all of it is in one sitting.
Correct.
It's still a lot. It's a lot, but at least you find out right away.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that it's just a random cyst that probably has been there for quite some time. Mm-hmm. But now that I've lost weight and a significant cup size in my boobs, nobody talks about that when you lose weight. I'm like, where did they go? It's literally, where's Waldo? That could very much be it as well. Not trying to fearmonger or scare anyone or scare myself. That's not what I'm trying to do. I think the conversation here is just health and anxiety are not a great combo. They're not a great mix because our bodies are incredible, but they're also so terrifying. So terrifying.
And it doesn't help when you have people like ourselves that try to self-diagnose.
I know exactly what it is. They're like, you don't.
We're going in a WebMD. Right.
So I'll keep you guys updated. Again, I shared this last week, and I had a lot of people come up to me, you know, while I was out at Lilac, and was like, just thank you so much for talking about this, because people were like, I feel crazy for thinking this way. But when I hear you talk about it, it makes me feel less alone and less crazy.
Yeah.
If you feel this way about anything, I don't care if you have a hangnail and you're like, it could be infected. You are not crazy. You are not alone. It's just our brains. They go to places that we don't even know. You know what I mean? We don't even know.
I know you're going to keep us updated.
100%.
And we're all here for you.
100%.
And thinking the best of the best case scenario.
Correct.
I'm probably not even the person that should be sharing this, but you know, ladies, use that 3-finger breast test. You know, you gotta examine your breast.
That makes me feel so comforted. Thank you so much.
Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters, and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
PXY Mornings with Moose and Breezy.
When you tell your smart device to play 98,
it's Breezy's Big Bills Update on PXY.
Oh, I didn't get the, so sorry. Let me go ahead and do that for you. Thank you.
Perfect. My producer, I can't. It's too much. You guys, very exciting news for not only the Bills, but the Rochester area as a whole, because the Bills are set to be featured in HBO's Hard Knocks during training camp right here at St. John Fisher University. So this will be very fun. They announced it yesterday on Wednesday, this HBO series Hard Knocks. I think it follows different football teams throughout their like preseason, and they're going to be doing it with our beloved Buffalo Bills. So that's going to air on August 5th, it says. It's going to give a behind-the-scenes documentary series that follows exactly what they're doing at training camp, which obviously we know is right here in Pittsburgh.
Right.
And this will be the 24th time in 26 seasons that they've been right here in our backyard. And the fact that it's going to be documented on an HBO series.
Pretty cool.
Pop all the way off.
August 5th.
I know. I'm very excited for that, given the fact that, you know, I'm a huge Bills girl.
A huge Bills girl.
I mean, they call her Breezy Bills. You know what I mean? So.
Josh Allen, we trust.
Yes. And the team, their first preseason game is scheduled for Saturday, August 9th against the Giants. So this will be a really great pregame to the pregame. You know what I mean?
Also, if anyone is looking to get rid of their 2025 season tickets for the Bills, I have like $250 burning a hole in my pocket.
They're like, yeah, we'll set up a nice lawn chair for you in the parking lot. That's Breezy's Big Bills Update on PXY.
Yeah.
Sponsored by no one.
It
should be sponsored, though.
We ran out of sponsorships on the show. We received a pretty heavy message this week from a listener who says her boyfriend passed away 4 to 5 months ago. And recently, she connected with someone she really likes, and she's hesitant. But the reason she's hesitant is not because it's too soon. We'll say that. We'll break down her message for Therapy Thursdays coming up next on PXY Mornings.
This weekend.
Memorial Day means a lot to me because it's the day that we remember our soldiers, sailors, everybody that's in the military.
We honor those who made the ultimate sacrifice for our country.
It's PXY Mornings with Moose and Breezy. Therapy Thursdays is a segment we thought about adding to the show. And, well, these messages tend to be a little heavier and out of the ordinary, if you will. For example, Janae from Farmington lost her boyfriend about 4 to 5 months ago, unexpectedly. Now she feels guilty, not about so much moving on too quickly, but she feels guilty about who she potentially is going to be moving on with, if you will.
This is tea.
This is definitely tea. So this is a message we received from the listener. We're going to dissect it live on the air to see how we can help. And of course, we'd love if you can chime in. 585-252-9800. Hi, guys. I'll get right to the point. This is from Janae. I listened to you in the morning. Really wanted to send this your way to see if it's something you would read on your show. I'm so lost right now, only because I tend to care what other people think. My boyfriend tragically passed away 4 to 5 months ago, and it was an incredibly difficult experience. I would imagine it would be. And I really have only just now begun to try and make peace with it. His best friend, who we'll call Kevin, was best friends with my boyfriend since middle school. We really got through the grieving process together. And I can't say that my loss was greater than his, but we've really become close through this ordeal. I always liked him before, but never had more than a passing friendship with him while my boyfriend was alive. But now I can honestly say that he is one of my best friends. I had a few friends who are kind of pushing me about getting back out there. Jeez, it's only been like four, Sally. Yeah, seems kind of quick, but I've been hesitant because it's only been 4 months. But I really did become kind of a hermit. And Kevin was really the only person who's been consistently there for me, even in the times when I didn't feel like going out. Mm-hmm. Kevin and I have talked about it, and we both have romantic feelings for each other and have decided to give dating a try. He has been very supportive about taking it slow and has been pretty much the ideal partner before I ever looked at him in a romantic way. Mm-hmm. Do you guys think I'm in the wrong for dating my late boyfriend's best friend?
It's definitely like a trauma bond for sure. 100% trauma bond situation, which I'm not saying is good nor bad. I just think that's what it is, what it is.
Yeah, listen, my own two cents here. This is
every rom-com ever, I feel.
Yeah, so. This is definitely a Hallmark film. I don't think 4 to 5 months is a very long time, but people grieve and they move on when they're ready to do so. But I mean, in the message, Janae, you stated that you had feelings for this Kevin before your boyfriend even passed away. So to me, it sounds like you were just waiting on an opportunity to explore these feelings. And with your boyfriend's passing, well, you got a chance to do it. But I don't know. I can't help but it seems a little wrong. But what are you going to do?
I don't Do you remember? I don't think she was waiting for her boyfriend to pass to explore these feelings. I think.
No, I'm not saying that. I think because he passed away, now she has an opportunity to explore these feelings. I think she liked him before her boyfriend passed.
No, I don't think so.
That's what I don't think so at all.
I think that they're bonded together due to the fact that they suffered this extreme loss together. And honestly, like, it's probably the closest she feels to her late boyfriend.
Possibility? Sure. I could see that. What do you guys think? Let us know. 585-252-9800. Therapy Thursday's on the show. Janae was the first one to write in for the segment, and it's a heavy one right out the gate. Boyfriend passed away 4 to 5 months ago, and now she seems to have really connected with her late boyfriend's best friend.
In Kevin's case, too, though, because of what I just said about that's probably how she feels the most connected to her late boyfriend, he also needs to take note of that and make sure that he knows that that could also be the case for her. Because he might just be a vehicle for her to feel connected to her boyfriend who has since passed.
Maybe. Maybe this is just the thing until they kind of can, you know, they're grieving together until they finally get over his death. And it's like, okay, yeah.
Right.
Thank you for your help. But this is, I could never do this. If my best friend passed away, I'm not trying to get with his wife. There's no way. I could never. Let's go over to Kelly Wing in first, who says, good morning, guys. I understand that trauma bonding is a real thing, but people should not act on these thoughts and feelings. If I were to unexpectedly die, I would be so angry at both my so-called friend and partner for dating each other after my passing. Being in a romantic relationship with the friend of the late loved one is an awful form of betrayal. Mm. Well, we know how Kelly feels about it.
She's like, yeah, but you are dead. Shut it down at the door.
You are dead, though, so it's not like you're going to feel anything towards it.
Right.
Alexis here. Her boyfriend died 4 months ago, and she's now ready to start dating his best friend. No. If that was me, I would come back from the grave and haunt both of them. Not okay.
She's like, absolutely not. No, thank you. Let's see who else is here.
Can you do this?
Can I do this?
Would you? I mean, Patrice dies tomorrow. She got a best friend you're interested in?
They're all straight, so no, I don't think I can do this. Okay, right. Hi, widow here. My husband passed away suddenly when I was 32 and he was 36. Just chiming in to say that very few people can relate to our loss when it comes to timing. Time is not a marker of readiness. Only you know when you're truly ready.
I agree with that.
So that's the tea. Also, like, she didn't really say how long her and her boyfriend were dating for.
That I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like, they could have been dating for 6 months.
I don't get that vibe from this message.
Then again,
who's to say? I mean, she's moving on in 4 to 5 months, but it seems soon. But like the last person that just texted in, and when
who's
people
gone
are
through it,
people
yeah.
are ready when they're ready. That's all there is to it. Let me go over to our friend Zach here, who says, I would rather my girlfriend dated one of my close friends if I died. At least I can trust them, and I wouldn't be friends with them to begin with if I thought they were terrible people. As long as nothing was going on between them before I died, I really don't care.
He goes, do you?
Makes a good point.
Do you, boo? Yeah.
And another person, what does it matter? They're dead. It's not like they're out there somewhere getting mad about it. No, I understand that. There's some people that just this type of situation does not sit well with them.
Yeah.
And I get that. Because there are a lot of people, even when they pass, they're still going to be jealous for all eternity.
All eternity.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So it really, listen, to Janae who wrote in, if it feels right, I guess pull the trigger on it. If that's for lack of a better term.
And you need to also have those tough conversations with that guy and make sure you guys are on the same page. Because listen, the last thing you want to do is get into a relationship with this man and then have things go south. Mm-hmm. And then that's the only door to your ex that you have. And now he hates you.
Right.
You know? So choose your positioning wisely. Like a game of chess.
Therapy Thursdays on PXY Mornings. We'll be Be right back.
98 Nerds.
Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.